So if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Luke chapter 14, to that passage that we were looking at. This is it's a good day today because in the next service, we have Michael and Louise. They're dedicating their daughter, their brand new daughter, called Sophie. And Sophia, better get that right by the next service. And it's really good because I'm getting to do the dedication, and I don't think I've been able to do a dedication for ages. So I'm really looking forward to that, the joy of that. The other thing to mention is we're going to have some folks sharing. I've got Seal here, and she's going to be sharing in a moment. And that's going to be really special because what we want to hear and what we're trying to focus on is this idea of mission on the margins, or really it's just an excuse to tell all the stories of all the amazing things that have been going on over the last year. Because despite lockdown, despite everything, the mission of SBC has been continuing. And particularly in terms of our community wing, we underwent a massive reorganization of community last year. Mylene's going to be coming up. Mylene took over an oversight of it. We appointed Michelle's here. David Wilson, his mother-in-law's just died, so he was going to be here this morning, but he can't be here. But we had new appointments, and there are lots of other exciting developments happening in terms of community. And what I wanted to do was just for the church to hear about all the things that are going on, and not just in intangible terms or intangible terms, but actually in terms of lives being affected and changed. And so I'm going to invite Mylene and Seal to come out and to just share. If you've got a microphone, there's a mic there.
Hello?
Yeah, it's on.
Good morning, church. It's lovely to be here. I'm glad we both did trip coming up there. it's lovely to be here with you all this morning, and it's an absolute privilege to introduce Celia McGowan to you all. Some of you may know Celia. She lives in the top of the town, and she has been part of our Haven family for 2.5 years now. And she prefers to be called Seal, and spells it S-E-A-L. So we had to get that right. But Seal has an amazing story, and she's going to share some of that with you all now. So here we go, Seal, welcome.
Thank you.
Seal, can you tell us a little bit about your life in Stirling? You're born and bred here. Tell us a little bit about your life growing up, and
I'll give you the microphone. Great. This is strange. This is really strange. I was born and bred in Ratlach. I was born in Ferguson Street in the room. And I was brought up in Keir Avenue, which is in Ratlach. And I went to St. Margaret's Primary School and then off to St. Moden's. I didn't do much at school because I was too busy being bad, for a better word. I didn't have much support when I was a youngster. There wasn't much of that when I was young because there was a lot of poverty for a start. That was a big hang back in the Ratlach. But we managed. There was a community, you know, it was a sense of humour. Oh, aye, definitely a sense of humour. you need a sense of humour. And things start, you know, things go wrong in your life and you don't know what to do. And I didn't have any support or guidance or anything like that. I didn't ask, I suppose. But anyway, there was sexual abuse and all the rest of it, right? All that and all the nasty way. So the drugs came on the scene and the alcohol came on the scene at an early age. I was a teenager. I was alcohol dependent by the age of 17. I was taking opiates. I was an addict by 20, right? Prescription drugs. And then a really bad thing happened to me, and mere sexual abuse when I was 27, and that took me on to heroin. and I started taking heroin, and everything that goes with it, it's the nightmare. It is a nightmare. It's evil. It's just, it robs everything. It robs you of your family. It robs you of yourself. It just robs you how you feel. But it helped me to cope with what went on in my life. And then it came, I was like, no, you know. I was on the streets. I didn't need to be on the streets, but my head, I was mentally ill, right? And the drugs done that to me. Took me, didn't make, I didn't care. I didn't care about nothing. Nothing mattered. Because, as long as I was safe in my own head. And I went on the street and I slept behind the church up Upper Brook Street, slept behind there for a wee while until the big gate went up because there was too many going in there and sleeping. And it got messed up a bit, and that's why the gate went up. Anyway, I ended up in hospital. I was done a lot of prison time, you know, and that put a few seeds in my head, you know, to help myself. Every time I go to prison, I always done something in the jail, like a program of some sort. Like, I had hepatitis, I got that cleared up the first sentence I got. And then I went on to SROB, which is substance-related offending behaviour. Doing wee bits of work on myself, you know. And then I ended up in hospital. My brother took no well. And I'm trying to rush it on here, so I'm not wanting to take up all the time.
You're doing great.
I ended up in hospital. They put me in a B&B up there, and you'll not believe it, it's called the Lost Guest House, right?
But now she's found.
I go to my house in the July, and I walked in, I heard all this. I came up, I went from Med Eye in the morning, and I came up the street, and I heard all the wee noise and laughing, kids laughing and that, and I walked into the wee park, and it was a barbecue. The Haven were on, I didn't know, and I just walked in. Mylene approached me, she went, "Do you like a burger?" And I'm like, "I really would, aye." And I got a burger handed to me, and the love I felt, it's a personal feeling. The love I felt for that day to this is unbelievable, and it just keeps showering me. And it's, you know, the glory goes to God. That's where it goes, because I was on my knees, and Father helped me, and He still helped me, and He always will help me. It's just the love. It's just the love I'm after, and that's what I've got.
Thank you. Well, I did have questions, but she didn't need to be asked any. So that's just, it's tremendous.
The last time I was in the front of a crowd like this, I was at court.
I told you she had a wicked sense of humour. But I think what Seal has shared is so important. When she started by saying that she didn't have a network around her, and she's found that with her family at the Haven and in SBC. And I just pray, and in God, and I pray that, yeah, God continues to strengthen Seal and to keep her safe in her recovery and in her walk with Jesus. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Seal. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Seal. That's great. Do speak to Seal afterwards when we're having tea and coffee and maybe hear more of her story. This is the, normally at this time of year, I start to discuss the area of our stewardship of our resources, both individually and corporately. And this year we're doing it slightly differently because I want to talk about mission on the margins with a view to resources. And interestingly enough, this is exactly what Jesus does in Luke chapter 14. Because if you look at verse 12 of Luke chapter 14, you'll see that just before the passage that we read, Jesus is speaking to his host. And he says to his host, he's obviously in a fairly plush setting in the Near East. And he says to his host, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor and the crippled, the lame and the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And then he goes on to tell the story of the banquet. And what Luke is doing there in telling the story, and again, this story only occurs in Luke, and we saw last week how Luke has this special emphasis, the idea that the gospel is for everyone, especially those on the margins. So it's for everyone, but especially those on the margins. And we have the stories of the Samaritans and women and morally reprobate and all of these individuals and the fact that the gospel is for them. And then in these stories, in these parables that Luke talks about, he's trying to say, and our focus should also be in terms of the margins. Now, hear me out and support me understand this. This is not to say that if you have a middle-class existence and you have a reasonably comfortable life and your relationships are not too dysfunctional, again, you might want to talk to me afterwards about what that's defined as, but you know, that God's not interested in you. God is interested in you. But what Jesus is challenging his church and his people to here is where they place their focus. You know, we as a church can endeavor to attract people like the majority of us and people who have probably had reasonably good educations, who probably have reasonably good lifestyles, who are reasonably comfortable in terms of the wider society. Or we can place our focus on the margins. And what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, if you are smart, you will invest and you will put your resources into the margins. Now those outside of church think this is insane. You know, why would you pour your resources into that which can't repay? Into that which you might find very little return in terms of the energies that you expend and the monies that you use. And Jesus explains and he says, you see, if you do that, you are investing in the future. You're not only investing in other people's futures and creating the possibility of other futures, because I firmly believe that if the church doesn't act in terms of the margins, then often the margins are just stuck there and there are no other possibilities. But when the churches act, there are other possibilities. But also what he's saying is you're investing in your future. And actually you're building up something for that investment in the future beyond this world. And that's kind of the context that Jesus addresses this. See, as a church, we have to understand this principle. And I think it's really important as we come out of the post-COVID age that we understand that our calling is not to be comfortable. Our calling is to the margins. Our calling and our resources have to be used in reaching the unreached with the good news of Jesus Christ. And that mission being an expression of the life of the church. As I said, over the last 12 months, one of the areas that we've seen most development in, and it's strange to think of development in terms of the last 12 months, but there has been development, has been in our community outreaches. And you'll hear more about it over the next few weeks. But in terms of the work of FLC and Heart to Heart, what's going on in terms of the Haven, there has just been and what's happening with CAP, there's just been an exponential increase in terms of the work of these ministries and some really exciting developments. See, one of the keys to marginalization, and we were hearing a little bit about addictive behaviors, is we often think it's driven by the drugs themselves. We watched a very interesting video this week in our staff meetings, as we were talking and thinking about mission on the margins and thinking about addiction. And the conventional sort of behaviorist approach that developed in the early 20th centuries was that drugs were seen as these addictive substances. And if these addictive substances were introduced into your life, you were hooked. So if you could get one shot of heroin, that would be it. You would be on heroin for the rest of your life. But in the 1930s, there was a psychologist, a guy called Bruce Alexander, who actually said, you know, we're missing something in terms of the psychology of addiction. Because he said, these substances, even heroin, is not that particularly addictive. So what is driving addictive behaviors? And he suggested that it's not the substance that drives the behaviors, it's the context that drives the behaviors. And so where in Scotland you see a massive increase in drug dependency and addictive behaviors, as we're seeing, and I mean, again, any city center, including Stirling, if you walk around, you will see the expressions of that all around us. He says, that's not because there's a ready supply of drugs. In fact, this video was suggesting that the diamorphine that's administered in hospitals is much more potent than some of the street heroines that you get. Yet people don't come out of hospitals as drug addicts. And the point it was making was, it's actually to do with the context. I remember when I was a young man, some of you will remember Ronald Reagan was the president of the United States. And his wife, Nancy Reagan, led a drugs campaign to address drug addiction in the United States of America. And it was called Just Say No. And this was Nancy Reagan's campaign. And I remember hearing a Christian speaker at the time saying, this is the most stupid campaign that you've ever encountered in your life. And kind of, why? And he said, you know, you can go to the dentist to get a tooth extracted, and we can say, just say no. But are you going to? Of course not. Why aren't you going to say no? Because of the pain. Because of what's there. And you see, the drug and addictive behaviors that we're seeing in our society are a reflection of our society. They're a reflection of isolation, of alienation, the denigration of self-esteem, and often these things become spirals. I mean, we were hearing a little of Latin Seal's story, and actually it's to do with the context and the pain of the context and the brokenness of the context that generates a need to relieve the pain. And so people turn to alcohol. They turn to drugs. Now, we can bring in programs and try and introduce other substances. We can try and address the supply of drugs. And again, all these things are appropriate steps to take. But it doesn't address the fundamental problem, which is the isolation and the need for a therapeutic community. For people to go in and minister in terms of people and their brokenness and their isolation and their alienation and actually begin to bring the good news and the love of Jesus. Now, again, you might be saying, oh, you're just a Christian. Of course you would say that's the surmise. But I would like to argue that there is no other agency in our society like the Church of Jesus Christ in bringing this therapeutic community to bear. You can deal with an individual as an individual, but it takes a community. And it requires a community, and it requires becoming part of a community. And you know, this isn't an easy thing. It's easier if the people that join your community are just like you and hopefully don't give you too many headaches. It's easier if the people that join your community don't demand too much from you. It's easy if the people that are part of your community can repay you, as Jesus talks about getting the meal invites round, and you invite them round to your house, and then you get invited back to their house. It's easy for a community in those terms. But the gospel of Jesus Christ demands a community that goes out to the margins. It demands a community that says the love of God compels us to break out beyond the confines that we find ourselves. As a church, that's at the heart of SBC. You know, we do not want to be a self-serving church. And then, you know, and I know we have issues in terms of church life and all sorts of things. And it would be easy to focus on these things. But the call of the gospel demands that our focus is on the mission and on the marginalized. And it's actually, you know, as we do this, the thing is, God's blessing comes and the other stuff starts to take care of itself. But for us as a community, it's easy to find excuses. And we see this in the story of this great banquet. I like the fact that Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a meal and to a party and coming around. It's not the image that people often think when they think of church, but it's the image that Jesus is giving us of an invitation to a feast and to people interacting and enjoying themselves. We had a leadership weekend, actually, this weekend, and on Friday night we had a meal together, and it was great just to share and talk and laugh together. And Jesus is saying, this is the image of what the kingdom of God looks like. It looks a little bit like that sort of thing. And yet, people exclude themselves from that community. Why? Because it's tough. Reaching the margins is tough. And Jesus goes through a series of people who have excuses. You know, well, they exclude themselves because they say, you know, I have to look after my financial security and my future. And so I have a bit of land here and I'm kind of investing in it. So I need to take care of that at the moment. You ever heard the Christian who's like, I'm really busy with my career. And once I get my career out of the way, I might get on and do some other things. I sometimes have to talk to my children about what's important in life. And actually, ultimately, it's good to have a strong career, but the career is not your ultimate value. But for some people, and for some Christians, it becomes an ultimate value, and it excludes them from the community. Because I'm so busy making money or pursuing my career. For others, it's relationship. I've just got married. I'm preoccupied with my spouse, and I'm just, you know, it's just me and you. And we're just so wrapped up with one another, and we're just excluding the world at the moment, and we really don't have time for anyone else or anything else. And excluded from the community. Or people who are just busy. There's a guy who comes along and he says, I've got 5 oxes to race. And I'm working on my car, and I've got things to do. I've got so much activity happening in my life. I just can't invest and be part of this community. And Jesus talks about these people who generate excuses why they can't be part of the community, why they can't be part of the good news of Jesus Christ, why they can't be focusing on the margins. And you know, as Jesus tells the story, he says, you know what? The master says to servants, and again, it's not to say that respectable middle-class individuals are not part of the kingdom, but what he's saying is in terms of focus, and he says, you know, our focus has to be on the margins. And he says, go out and find those that want to be part of the community, those who need to be part of the community. And here's the thing, we all need to be part of the community, but go and find those who realize that. Go and find those who are broken. Go and find those who need to know the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. And he says, invite them in. And then to emphasize this, after the first go, the servants come and they say, hey, there's still more spaces. And he says, go out and search even further and even more extreme margins to invite people into the community of God. You see, what Jesus is presenting is he's presenting a picture of not a well-adjusted community of whole people. He's presenting an image of a community of broken people who are discovering the healing of God. And you know, if you're looking for a perfect church, you're in the wrong place. You know, because the church is not a perfect community. The church is a broken community, which in its brokenness seeks to include others in the knowledge of the love of God. And actually, that's its focus. Its focus is to reach beyond itself, to invite the broken to encounter and know the healing of God. Jesus' challenge to his disciples is, where is your focus? And I guess as we start into 2022, it's a good question for us to ask as individuals. It's a good question to ask as a church. Oftentimes you can tell your focus in terms of the way that you use your money. Again, I come along to the AGM and to the gathering in a few weeks where we'll be doing our budget. You can look at how we use our money in SBC and where we prioritize and where we what we resource. But in our own lives, it's an interesting question. What do we resource? What is the focus of the way that we use our monies? What is the focus of our energies? Where do we put our energies? You see, Jesus invites us to consider that in this parable. And he invites us to consider the challenge that the focus of our resources, both in terms of energy and in terms of finances, should be in filling the house, inviting others into that great feast. It's a wonderful picture. This was done by an artist, actually an artist employed, I think, by the Church of Scotland, a man called Ian Campbell, who's part of the Tron Church in Glasgow. And he was doing a series of artworks, and he went to Glasgow City Mission, and he painted this meal. And he then entitled it as it was shown, The Last Supper. And it was a very poignant, and again, I think you can still go to the Tron and see this picture. And it's a very poignant picture as you look at it, because it's actually capturing the essence of what Jesus is talking here about, a church that focuses on the margins and invites the margins into a community which is full of broken people, but a community which knows the good news of Jesus and the healing experience of that Jesus. As a church, as we go into 2022, that's what our focus should be. You know, our much as it would be nice, and again, we are filling up, so it's good to see the church filling up and have Sundays full, but that's not the criteria that we should be judging our church by. Not how good our youth work is, or how great our band is, or these aren't the criteria that God judges us by. He will judge us by, how focused are you on the margins? How much are you self-sacrificing in terms of reaching those margins? And what kind of community are you building? Is it one where people discover the healing and the grace of God and the true meaning of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the challenge of your words. Lord, we pray that these would strike us in the same way as they struck those who first heard them 2,000 years ago. Lord, I pray that you would help us reflect on where our focus is, where our energies are. Lord, help us to be like you, a God who is focused on the margins. Lord, we thank you that everyone matters to you. We thank you that we all count in the kingdom of God. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us carry that message into our broken society. We pray for those who struggle with addictive behaviors and issues. We pray for those who have experiences of isolation and alienation. Lord, help us, as we know your healing, to bring that healing into our world. We ask this in your name. Amen.